Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The feast of joy, the feast that Jesus had been wanting to eat with his disciples, the Passover feast, it was barely over when Jesus was out in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he was already beginning to feel a great agony, suffering the torments of the devil there. And while the disciples had not yet given up on him at that point, they were really not very helpful to Jesus at that point either. But the devil was doing his best. At this point, he saw Jesus in his weakest point of time. Never before did the devil see Jesus, the prey that he was seeking to lead into sin, to destroy in such a weak condition as he was that night. And so he's working overtime, so to speak, on Jesus. He's worked in the hearts of the people, the scribes and the Pharisees and their leaders. They too have now joined forces with the devil and all of his evil angels against Jesus. They're stirring up hatred against Jesus amongst the people. And so the devil is in good spirits. He's good spirits. He seems to think he's got everyone on his side, and especially is that the case as he gets Jesus out there on Calvary and has him nailed to the cross. In fact, as we read our lesson tonight, Jesus has been on the cross for about 6 hours. But there's one thing that the devil kind of overlooks. It's been dark. It's been dark for the last 3 hours in a very unusual darkness. It wasn't a solar eclipse. They don't last that long. There was no natural explanation for the darkness that was over the earth for the past 3 hours. But the devil seems to not pay any attention to that. He's too busy tormenting Jesus. He's too many busy thinking that he's got Jesus by the throat and is about to destroy him. And then he hears Jesus say, my God, why have you forsaken me? And the devil whoops for joy. He's very happy. Jesus has indicated that God is not with him any longer. And so he's sure that it's only a matter of a little while and Jesus will fall into sin and do that. But while Jesus is indicating that God has forsaken him, he wants us to know that at that point in time, he is suffering the pangs of hell. Because in one sense, hell is being separated from God. Being separated from God with no opportunity to be reunited with God. You and I still have an opportunity to be reunited with God by confessing our sins and turning to God in faith. In hell, there is no such opportunity. God has totally forsaken you. Then Jesus asks, he says, I thirst. He's given a drink. And then he cries out in a loud voice, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. And he gives up his Holy Spirit. He gives up his spirit. He gives up his soul to God. Now notice, Jesus gave up his life. It was not taken from him. People who die on a cross die from suffocation. That's the cause of death, suffocation. But the very last words that Jesus cries out, he cries out in a loud voice so everybody can hear him. Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. He had plenty of air, plenty of breath left in his body. But after that, we're told he bowed his head and gave up the spirit. He willingly died. The devil thought he had him. But in that moment, Jesus was victorious. Victorious over Satan. He had fulfilled the prophecy, the very first prophecy that was given to Adam and Eve, that Eve would give birth to a son, and that son would be bruised by Satan. But in the process that he's bruised by Satan, he would crush Satan's head. He would destroy the power of Satan. And that's what was now happening on Good Friday. The devil inflicted a wound upon Jesus. He was bruised. He thought he had him. But in the process, Jesus sort of turned the tables on him and crushed his head, destroyed the power of Satan, because by dying, he paid the debt of our sin. The wages of sin is death, but Jesus was holy, pure, without any sin. So he did not need to die, but he willingly died so that he could pay the debt of your sin and my sin. And by dying for our sins, he was able then to free us from the claws of the devil, who said that there's no way we could ever enter into heaven, because now we can enter into heaven by the grace and by the mercy of our Savior Jesus Christ. And so don't overlook the cost of your forgiveness, of my forgiveness. It's not something cheap. It costs the very life of God's Son. Instead, what we need to do is ask, how can I thank my God for this great gift? What can I do to show God that I appreciate his forgiveness? And God tells us. He says, obey the Ten Commandments. Love your neighbor as yourself. Put God first in your life. Worship him, thank him, praise him. Make use of his word, make use of his sacraments. And don't be afraid to stand up and witness your faith and your love of God. And Joseph of Arimathea, we're told, he was a member of the Sanhedrin. He was present when the Sanhedrin voted to have Jesus crucified and put to death. It tells us that he did not agree with that, but it appears he also did not speak up against it, that he didn't speak out against what the Sanhedrin was doing. But now when Jesus has died on the cross, suddenly, so to speak, the pieces come together for Joseph of Arimathea. He has been worshiping Jesus privately and secretly, but now he's willing to put his life on the line. And he goes boldly to Pilate and asks for the body of Jesus so that he can bury it. He knows that that act will put him into all kinds of trouble with the Jews and the other members of the Sanhedrin. But he doesn't care, because he knows that Jesus is the Savior, the Redeemer. And that's Nicodemus joins him in that, as they then go and bury Jesus. Both secret disciples, but now, even before the other disciples come to the realization that Jesus truly was the fulfillment of God's promise, these two secret disciples seem to have got the message that Jesus truly was God and our Redeemer. They've noticed the temple, the earthquake at the time of Jesus' death. They noticed how the curtain in the temple was torn from top to bottom. Now that curtain separated the holy place where the people could gather and worship and the Holy of Holies, where only the high priest could go and offer the sacrifice and the prayers for the people. But now the temple curtain is torn so that the Holy of Holies is open to all of us. We still sort of have that marking in our sanctuary when we have the communion rail. It marks the place between the holy place and the Holy of Holies where the altar of God is. But there's no curtain there. There's no barrier there, because we can all go before God now with our prayers. We can all go directly to God, thanking him. And yet we also go as a congregation to worship him together, to encourage one another to worship our Lord and Savior. And so let us repent of our sins and find the victory in the death of Christ, because Jesus was victorious in his death. His death brought us freedom from our sins. His death brought us life and salvation. And so let us praise God for that death of Christ and make use of it by having faith and trust in his promises. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Service will continue as we bring our offerings to the Lord.